On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
If you were listening to the broadcast last night, you heard a little bit of a switch. Jesse working with Mud Grant this series. Now, I know you love working with Tony, Jesse, but is it fun to shake it up a little bit and get a chance to spend a few hours with Mudcat?
Of course. You know, I mean, we're lucky. We've got, you know, pretty much best in the biz across the board on our little broadcast team. So it's kind of easy to mix and match. We all get along very well. We all know each other very well. I think there's chemistry, really, no matter how you pair it up. You know, the thing you always hear players, coaches talk about, you know, we spend more time with our teammates and with our families during the season. That is very true. And that goes for us also. So, you know, the amount of time that, you know, Mud and I spend together and Tony and I spend together and Don and I spend together over the course of the season, we all know each other very, very well, which makes that kind of thing pretty simple, all things considered.
How's your cold, buddy? You sound still a little stuffy.
We're getting there. I think we might have turned the corner last night, but you know, we're not scot-free just yet.
We talked about this with Jesse before. It's, you know, you're not building a building or hanging drywall, you know, real manly jobs.
We have welders in the audience. I know. We found that out last week.
We do have welders in the audience. Those are manly jobs. Those are tough work.
Let's not be gender role. They can be womanly jobs as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, there it is. Misogyny bell. Got me again. But the broadcasting with a cold, I'm going to throw it up there. It's really, really difficult to do. It really is difficult to do when you know. I'm nauseous right now. I'm going to throw up at any second.
Mining, oil drilling, welding.
Yes.
Yeah.
And broadcasting with a cold.
Yeah.
It's right up there, Jesse. Agreed?
I had the little mining flashlight on last night just to kind of remind myself. Yeah, it's miserable. And it's miserable. So stupid because it's such a small little thing at the end of the day. And yeah, it's like, you know, the other thing is with like a big game and a loud environment, which we had last night, obviously, it's like, you know, I'm just in fear the entire game. Like if there's a big hit and a big moment, like I could lose it at any second. Like that could be the last thing you hear me say for a week, you know, it's like the voice could go. So it definitely sounds absurd within the context of real people with real jobs. But for what we do, it's about as bad. And it's so silly. It's the common cold. Like how have we not figured this out?
Got to figure it out.
Jesse, I'm going to say something complimentary of Dodgers fans, which we don't do very often, but I was impressed. I was pretty much all there for the first pitch last night.
Yes. Yeah.
Usually impossible, but they made it happen to see. They knew they had a limited chance to see Ohtani on the mound, and they got there, and it made for, as you said, a pretty electric atmosphere for a Monday night in June.
It was a lot of fun. It was. You know, I mean, just you kind of knew that this was like the place to be, and this was, you know, the game of the night, and you know, it really did feel like the eyes of the baseball world were all on Dodger Stadium. And a lot of those eyes would have been there, obviously, even without the Ohtani piece. But you add that in. And look, you said, you know, at the beginning of the game, I'll tell you what, man, Mud and I looked at each other maybe 40 minutes before first pitch, and the place was kind of packed. And that's unusual anywhere, but particularly, you know, here with the well-earned reputation and the traffic. But, I mean, it was legit. So definitely, you know, hats off. Everybody was there. They wanted to see it. And the Padres went out in that first inning and spoiled the party a little bit. It was cool. It was just, you know, I mean, there's 162 games, and even the biggest ones, you never quite know how it's going to go. But, like, the expectation and the energy was there, and it definitely made for a cool night.
Yeah, and it was wild. Talking to Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning, wild to see. I mean, the guy hadn't pitched in 2 years, so you knew he was going to have some rust, right? The stuff looked really, really good. But honestly, like, going out, throwing up a run off there in the first, I wasn't beating my chest about it, but I went, all right, that went about as good as you could ask for if you're a San Diego Padre. And I think with Shohei Ohtani and Dodger fans, too, he got out of there unscathed, basically. He got out of there healthy. The stuff looked firm, nasty, like kind of a win-win for both.
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely from the Padre perspective, you know, you ripped off the Superman cape right away. There was no intimidation. There was no fear. You know, and they went out there and they executed against him like he was anybody else, which certainly makes you feel good moving forward. But you're right. You know, from the Dodger perspective, the box was checked. And that's the main thing. Now, obviously, got to see how he feels today and tomorrow. And if he is able to kind of go on and do that next step you know, whether that's two innings or three innings in his next outing. But, you know, assuming health, although you can't seem to do that for pitching in today's game, certainly if you're wearing that uniform, you can't, it seems. But he did, I'm sure, what they wanted him to do, which was get in the 20, 30 pitches, come out of there ostensibly healthy, as far as we know healthy, and you take it from there. But it really, it was cool. It's one of those things where you're like, man, I feel lucky that I'm here, and I appreciated that.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jesse, do we have a new villain in the rivalry, at least from the Padres' perspective? Enter stage left, Andy Páez, last night. What was your take on the fourth inning hit by pitch?
Yeah, you know, it's a couple things, right? One, first of all, this guy's having a really good year, and he is appearing to be sort of like the next budding Dodger star. This is a guy to be very aware of from a baseball perspective. He's very, very talented, and he seems to be putting it all together here in his second season. So, you know, that was kind of my thought before all that happened. It was like, this guy, you know, we're going to have to be very aware of him in the years ahead. And then, you know, it kind of felt like the Profar moment a little bit last year where, you know, it hurts, right? And you react emotionally because it hurts. And then we found out after the game also, you know, he thought maybe they thought he was tipping location or something when he was at second base the previous inning. But yeah, like obviously from a baseball context, that's not the time or place. And then, you know, as Manny put it afterwards, like if we want to drill somebody, like they got some big dogs. But you know, I certainly
I missed that entirely.
I didn't see that.
Oh, great line! Yes. It was a great line. It was like, look, you know, I mean,
come on.
Say them by name, but yeah. Like obviously, like you know, if we want to hit somebody, there are you know more exciting targets.
You're seventh.
And the same thing again.
Yeah.
It's such
like,
a sneaky insult.
It's such
by
a
the
sneaky
way.
Punch in the nuts from Manny. Yeah. I love it.
Schulte was a little more direct.
Yeah, Schulte was a little bit
from
more
the
direct.
Dugout.
Yeah. But you know, Manny. By the way, to be fair, Manny went on to say, "Hey, he's a really good player," and he, you know, he complimented him after the fact. But he was making what's a very fair point about the situation. And look, it's baseball. Things pop up. It's heated. You know, it's these two teams. It is a rivalry, and you know, it's fun. You know, when that kind of stuff happens. But yeah, like you know, Will Smith went very direct last year with yep. Profar and the whole irrelevant thing. And you know, Jerkson came back in a Sunday night game and had a big hit here. So. Look, it's just the sort of start of the whole thing. As I think I said on the air last night, it was something along the lines of, you know, we have our first spark or whatever of 2025 with these two teams. And I didn't have Andy Páez being the guy with the matches on my bingo card, but that's what makes baseball so fun is you never quite know how it's going to happen, who it's going to happen with or, you know, where it goes from there. So, he walked it back a little bit after the game, yeah. Páez to his credit. But yeah, like that's the fun of this is it's live. It's competition, it's adrenaline, and that kind of stuff is going to happen.
Well, by that same vein of you never know what's going to happen, you know, Dylan Cease was so freaking good against this team last week. And when he came out, you're like, okay, so he's found it. He's got it. Like, he's locked in, trouble's behind, everyone's going to run into a walk or a home run every now and then, but Dylan Cease is locked in. And, you know, I think he was victim of a little bit of bad luck, you know, a couple of 80-mile-an-hour soft liners, but the unraveling, you know, the snowball effect was just hard to get back from because that lineup is so deep, beat you 1-9, you know, it's not the team you can do that against.
No doubt. And, you know, I mean, it's one of these things we've talked about, whether it's me and Tony or Mudd or whoever, like, 1,000 times in the last decade is they are so deep. They are so good. They are so talented. You cannot crack the door open.
Yeah.
And of all the stupid things, it's an infield hit in the fourth inning with one out yesterday. Jake makes a great play on it, throws just a little bit down the line. Arise just quite can't keep the foot on the bag.
Yep.
Talk about game of inches. And if they make that play, it's two outs, nobody on in the fourth, who knows where it goes. And then we obviously saw the way it went and they just are. They're deep. They don't stop coming. And it's really, really hard to sometimes overcome even the slightest little miscue. I wouldn't even call that a mistake. You know, it's just a miscue.
Yeah.
And it's that thing. You crack the door open. They're able to kick it down. Dylan was as sharp in the first three innings last night as I think I've seen him in a Padre uniform.
No question.
I mean, it was electric.
Yeah.
It was electric.
Incredible.
And then, again, it's just a little dribbler to the right side, and that kind of got the ball rolling. And, you know, next thing you know, you look up, 10 guys have come to bat, and you're like, what just happened here? The guy had to throw 30 pitches. So it's, look, that's how it goes against great teams. We've seen the Padres do that to other teams, you know, how many times over the last couple of years. It's just part of how it goes.
You know, Jesse, I made this argument earlier, and sure, I'm a Padres fan, so I want the team to do well against the Dodgers. They've dropped 3 of 4, but the three losses were all competitive games. That you can see that the two teams are at least on somewhat of a level footing. I mean, the Dodgers, you know, have a deeper lineup, and I know that they spend more on their roster, but, you know, all those games that the Padres have lost are... You change one thing, it may have a different outcome. And I wanted to see if you felt like, hey, you get them in the playoffs, you do feel like the Padres have a shot against this team.
For sure. And, you know, I think I've said this the last couple of years now, and this goes for Padre-Dodger games, Padre-Diamondback games, Padre-Giant games. I'll say Padre-Met games, not that we've seen them yet. But, you know, pick whatever really good, great team in the National League you want. And generally, I think it's going to be about the team in the mirror, not the team on the other side of the field. And, you know, if the Padres do their thing, they're going to be right in it. If they don't, they're not. They are talented enough. They are tenacious enough that they can hang with any team in this league. No doubt. They are in that upper echelon along with those other teams that I mentioned as an elite team in this league. Now, that doesn't guarantee you anything, not in June, certainly not in October. But if they play to the peak of their capabilities, and I'm not saying the roster's perfect, and I'm certainly not saying I expect it to be this way, you know, when we get into the back end of the season. But I think they do have the talent, they have the ability, they've got the leadership to hang with any team and to beat any team. So it's about how they play, and that's what will determine the fate of this team.
All right, you want to get to the incorporator?
Yeah, let's do it. I've never heard this word. Ben said he had.
I've heard it, yeah. I've seen it a couple of times, like in Office... comedy, like Office type.
Like The Office?
Like The Office, yeah.
You know, like that show, it takes place in an office.
Yeah, those office-related shows.
Yeah, they work.
Yeah.
Where they work together.
I've never heard this before.
Lickspittle.
Hit it again.
Lickspittle.
Lickspittle.
I don't know that.
The etymology is pretty self-explanatory with this word. It's part of a grand pantheon of English words for sycophants. Sure. All right, so it's a fawning subordinate. A suck up. You're a bit of a lickspittle, Ben.
A bit.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah.
Lickspittle.
I'm in the anti-lickspittle, at least here.
Who was the one in the office?
Dwight.
Dwight,
yeah.
Yes. Dwight. He was the lickspittle of the office.
Lickspittle.
Yeah. It's a great word.
Great word.
Sycophancy, very dangerous, by the way. We all got to be a little, you know, you got to always have a little bit of a critical eye to everything.
1,000%.
Yes.
But that's a great word.
Yeah, lickspittle.
That's a great word.
Great one.
Yeah,
can't wait to hear it, buddy. Weave it in.
And you got mud to dance around as well. Changes the dynamic.
Yeah, changes it up.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, that's a good call.
All right, enjoy the rest of your day in Los Angeles.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. Yeah, get some rest, buddy. All right.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.